Hello, and welcome to Legacy Church Amelia Island. We know that you will be blessed by the message that you're about to hear and pray that it helps you to leave a Christ-glorifying legacy for generations to come.
All right, Legacy Church, thank you so much for being here today. If you're excited to be in God's house, why don't you put your hands together? What a great opportunity to be together and commune. I see everybody getting together and catching up. And thank you, online fam, for joining us as well here today. We honor you and thank you so much for being a part of our services here today. Well, it was an exciting time to be a part of the Legacy family. You have found us in the middle of this series or collection of talks called Family Matters. And so as a church, we started our year with prayer and fasting, and now we're going into the home. And we're making sure we have healthy homes. Someone say amen. Amen. It's all about the home. We know that the home reflects the church, and the church reflects the home. And so we've been very methodical in our approach, how we start this year, that we first take care of this space, and then we take care of every other space. And so week one of this series, we start out talking about the power and the importance of unity. Someone say unity. And how God's desire for his homes, his people, and his church is to unite and to make sure we are not tricked by the fools of the enemy and any divisive pieces or tools that he might use. And then last week we talked about honor. Who enjoyed that message on honor? You know, like a lot of spouses like that one on honor. We had some good feedback from that message. And just bringing honor back into the home. And I don't know if that felt weird for you practicing this past week, but make it a habit. Honor your homes. Honor your spouse. Honor your children. Get roommates. Honor your roommates. And watch the great work that God will do in that. And so as we continue in this collection of talks, as we continue in this framework of building out the home, this week is going to be just as important. You're going to see how it's really a progression of where God's taken our church family. I want to talk to you today about the fight for your right for spiritual maturity. We're going to fight for a mature faith. We're going to really grow. And there's going to be some stretching in this series, and maybe in the previous message and definitely in today's message. But what you're going to find is you don't know it, but you want a maturity the whole way. You might know this with your kids. They don't know it yet, but when they find themselves in bumps and bruises in the road in their life, they want maturity. They just don't know it yet. And a lot of us in our church family, a lot of us in our homes, we don't know it yet, but there's a lot that God has for us as we fight for the right for a mature faith. And I've used this word consistently throughout this series because nothing good comes easy. If you've ever accomplished anything worth having, if you've ever been in a relationship worth having, if you've ever done anything that's cost you anything, there's a fight. And we're going to fight for our spiritual maturity. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. What a great day to be in your house, God. What a great day to come with full surrender and say, Lord, we are yours. Have your way. Holy Spirit, you're invited. You're welcomed. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, break down the walls of whatever would hinder what you're going to say and what you're going to do, Lord, that we might hear from you with clarity, we pray. We need you, Father. Come and have your way, we pray. Let every home be different by the end of our time together, we pray today. In Jesus' name, someone say amen. It's been said that maturity is what separates the men from the boys, and it's maturity that separates the women from the girls. If you think about it throughout our life, if an adult-age person is not showing signs of maturing physically, mentally, or emotionally, well, we say, well, there's something developmentally wrong with them, right? Yeah. If you're 35 and still living with mom and dad, developmentally, there are some things we should question. Now, there's the hardships in life that mom and dad are going to help with, right? Right. Let me not throw stones at anybody, but like there's some developmental things we need to talk about, right? Like what is the job force looking like? What are relationships looking like? What are interpersonal things looking like? But in life, we have these marks and these metrics that if some developmental things aren't happening in our body, in our mind, in our relationships, in our jobs, in our finances, we say, hey, there's some stunted growth here. There's some things that are not yet to be developed that we need to probably talk about and see how we can get this from point A to point B. Well, let me tell you this. That can't be ignored in the natural, but it also can't be ignored in the spiritual sense. That there are developmental metrics, spiritually speaking, personally, in our own lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our relationships, and in our church, that if we aren't hitting these metrics, if we aren't moving along, well, our growth is stunted. We have some developmental issues that we've got to talk through and walk through, and there may be some things exposed in this message or in this series that you might say, oh, that's why I'm feeling stuck. That's why I'm not going where I think I should be. That's why maybe I haven't seen all that God has for me play out in my life. One thing that we're going to learn today is the goal of the church is to bring in believers and mature them. That's the difference between any other club. The difference between a country club, the difference between any other kind of club that's out there. The difference is when we bring you in, the goal is to mature you. The goal is to bring you up in the ways of the Lord, not in the ways of a denomination or a non-denomination. Not in the ways of a old pastor or someone say a young pastor. Young pastor. Not as young as I look, but a gentleman reminded me, we celebrated his 80th birthday in our church. He reminded me he's got shoes older than me. I said, all right, how about that? I can't help that I'm this age. It's just how God made me. But the goal is that no matter where we are in our space in life, that we are maturing, that we are growing, that we are building. Someone said, you can't stay the same. And that's part of the problem in our culture. We want to stay in the same habits and behaviors and mindsets and spiritual space, but we want God to do new things. But we want fresh revelation. We want God to do the overflow. Anybody grew up in a church saying, I'm praying for the overflow? Anybody grew up in that church? But if you're not filled, how can God overflow you? You guys gonna make me preach this morning. You're gonna make me preach this morning. Because I'm gonna go through some misnomers. I'm gonna go through some things that we've been playing church, and it's time to longer play church. Yeah. We've been looking for things to look and sound and feel a different way. And if it's not the way we want it to, well, this isn't church. This isn't what I want. And we're missing it all together. Do you know what the first church did? They gathered with places with no roofs. They gathered in places with no HVAC and no environment and no lights and no sound and no coffee. And they worshiped God until his presence fell. We read about the upper room, and it was just a body of believers gathering, and his presence fell. I spent time in different countries and gone to churches where there were no roofs. And they worshiped. And if there were a roof, the worship was so powerful, God would have tore the roof off the place. And so it's going to force us in this series and force us in our walk and force us in our life. What are we even here for? Who are we even here for? What do we think we're getting out of these experiences? Are we maturing or just checking the box? Anybody ever been an hourly employee? Yep, the goal is to get the salary, right? So you're not checking in and checking out. But you've been an hourly employee. You are just there as long as you need to be so you can head out of there. This is not that occasion. This is a salary employee situation here where you are here and you're not on the clock. You are here to grow. You are here to expand. You are here to say, Lord, speak to me. You're here to say like David, Lord, search my heart and what it is in it that offends you. Isn't that funny? David said what offends you, not how I'm offended. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Different day and age we're in today, though. Lord, what offends you? Remove it. Cut it away. Take it away because I want more of you, not more of me. Oh, God's going to build a real church here. God's going to build a real space here at Legacy Church. The goal of what God is trying to do in these pews online, if you're online, give me a thumbs up. Let me know that you're with us here. The goal of what he's trying to do is build mature believers. And so if you're not into this, if it's not what you're looking for, you're going to miss it because he wants to mature us. Paul is talking to a church in Colossae. And as he's talking to a church in Colossae, he's got a message to send to him. He does this through epistles, through letters. He goes there and he speaks to them physically as well. And so he's making his circuit. And here's his message. Open your Bibles with me to Colossians and your Bible apps to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. And here's his message to them. In case they're playing church, in case they're here for alternative motives and reasons and people and structures and whatever this first century church looked like, he deals with it very quickly. Watch this. In verse 28, he says, he is the one we proclaim. Who is he? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God. He who is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone, say this with me, fully what? Mature. Fully mature. He said, I don't know what your intent is here in Colossae. I don't know what you came for. I don't know if you came for the song or the dance. I don't know if you came to check something off the box. If you came, whatever your motives were, let me tell you why you're supposed to be here. Let me tell you what you're supposed to walk away with. He says, to be fully mature in who? Not in whatever you were thinking, not in whatever was your fancy, no, in Christ alone. He says, to this end, I strenuously contend, because this ain't easy. Whether you're leading the church or you're attending the church, this is hard work. It's cold and rainy here in North Florida. I don't know where you're joining us online today, but here, it's winter. It might as well be a blizzard for us here today. You think I'm joking? I asked God, could I skip today? Anybody had to take a shower, loosen up their back this morning on a cold day? We strenuously come here. Strenuous content with all energy. Christ so powerfully works in me. He says, we are here to be fully matured. We are here to take this word and to eat it and to process it and to have our marching orders. We are here to walk it out. I was talking to one of our military guys, Kyle, up in our tech booth, and he's got his orders. He says, September 25, he's on a submarine boat. He's got his orders. He is marching. He is ready. Well, that's not just in the natural. That's also in the spiritual. Paul's telling us that the stated goal is to not make everyone feel good. That's harsh in a feel-good culture. He said the stated goal in a church is not for our favorite song, not for our favorite message, but it's to mature the believer. And that's the difference when you hear teaching and preaching predicated on what the goal is of said leader or said speaker or said preacher. You're going to get what their goal is. And just know this, when you're here, the goal is maturity. The goal is growing you in Christ. The goal is building you and growing your home and growing your spirit and growing your soul. And in doing that, what do we grow? We'll grow the church, we'll grow our societies, and we'll grow our communities. The goal of maturing the believer, if you read through this letter, seems to supersede all things that we are traditionally used to hearing. Well, you got to pray more. You got to read your Bible more. You got to come to church more. You got to give more, not just a tithe, but an offering. You got to be kind and loving and forgiving. It's like, whoa, Paul, this is our goal to be fully mature? Because embedded in being fully mature is all the precepts and principles that God desires. See, you won't be mature if you don't know God's word. You won't have a good conversation with God if you can't rightly divide his word. My men in the house, before social media, if you were dating before social media, right here, raise your hands, before social media, that's real men. Because we had to stalk women. We had to be friends with their friends. We had to sit back and just watch them leaving places and arriving at places to know what they wanted to do. Courtney didn't tell me she loved country music and horses. I stalked that girl. True story. I was friends with her friends. By the way, are you friends with Courtney? Me too. They're like, but she's never talked about you. Oh, she will, I promise you. Tell me what you think about her and learn about her. You've got to learn about this God who you profess to serve, who you profess to know, who you profess to come into a church and hear about from some young preacher with skinny pants on. My daughter said, your pants get tighter and shorter every week, Dad. To which I said, I don't know what to tell you about that. Your mom likes it that way? I don't know. But we've got to get to know this God. We've got to get to know this Lord, because my fear is whether you're here or God takes you in a submarine in September of 25 and you serve our country, is that no matter where you go, if you're coming for the wrong thing, you'll get the wrong thing. If you're coming for a show, you'll get a show. If you're coming for entertainment, you'll get entertainment. But if you're coming for God to shift your heart and shift your mind and shift your soul, if you're coming for God to speak to your heart, you know what you walk away with? God speaking to your heart and speaking to your soul and shifting your home. There's a reason the statistics in the godly, spiritual Christian home are no different than the statistics in the pagan, agnostic, far-from-God home. Because there's something that we're missing in between. It's no more than theater. It's no more than show. It's no more than a movie. It's no more than a pastime. And then we check it off and not putting it into practice. But Paul says it's time for an end. He says the buck stops here. Usually we teach about obeying individual biblical practices without realizing, without spiritual maturity, we're missing it. Without spiritual maturity, it's just temporary behavior modification. I'm going to free somebody up in here today. You have tried to serve God and you've fallen off the wagon. You've tried to serve God and you fell back. You've tried to serve God. You want God, but man, the world looks appealing. Porn looks appealing. Leaving God on the back burner looks appealing. Making your own way in life looks appealing. It all looks appealing because it's been behavior modification, not spiritual modification. Spiritual modification comes in with maturity of the saints. You hear the people shouting, saying all these things? They know what I'm talking about. They've done it the other way. They follow man and not God. They follow their own way, their own precepts and principles. That's why the Bible says sin is lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's following your own wants, your own desires, your own way, and then getting mad at God when things aren't working. Getting mad at God when you find nothing but dysfunction and hardship and pain, and it's everybody's problem but yours. Paul says, not anymore. We are strenuously working in this scripture, in this church, in our homes, in our marriages, with our children, in our schools, to be fully mature in Christ. And fully mature in Christ is like a new designer. It's not seen around here. It's like a runway show. We ain't seen that one before. Where'd that come from? Fully mature in Christ. We hear evil, we repay good. The world's dividing, we unite. The world is attacking, we honor. Everything in this world is lustful, we honor God. This is what God desires. This is what Paul is trying to teach this church, which is actually a young church in Colossae. You'll find out here. But what he wants us to see is this. If we ever get satisfied where we are spiritually, if you ever think you have arrived, you've missed it. If you ever think you have arrived, you've missed it. Okay, if you've served God for 5 years, raise your hand. First, serve God 5 years. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 45, 50. Okay, we got some 50 years in. Wow, okay. So what our 50-year people in the building will tell you, thank God for a diverse church, right? Like, I know the Trinity churches are really cool, but thank God for a diverse church. We got some people who've seen some things. But what you'll find out, what they'll tell you is they have never arrived. And we will never arrive. There's things that happen in our Christian culture where we think we have arrived predicated and based on other people. Well, I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so. Let's get a prayer circle. And it's really gossip, and it's really, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's really tearing down, it's pulling down. But it's like, because we've arrived in our family, in our marriage, in our church, in our finances. We would never. My dad taught me years ago, the thing you say you never do, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Just hold out. So we never arrive. The posture of our heart is we're always pressing forward to the mark. We're always pressing forward to the mark. I can always draw closer to God. And the more you read the Word of God, you just find out how far you really are. Have you ever wondered why when you read with Jeremiah or Daniel or any of these other people who are super godly and super close to God, the closer God gets, the more they're like unclean, unclean, and they fall down on their face? They're super spiritual, but the closer you get to God, the further you find out you are. This is why Jesus says in Matthew 5:6, he says, blessed are those who do what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. He says, you will never arrive, my friend. Please don't get high and mighty. Please don't be in this Christian high horse. Please don't say, the country's going to hell in a handbasket. Okay, what are you doing about it? You got a plan? Oh, don't you love the people who talk about the problems but have no solutions? Don't you love those people? Here's all the issues. Here's all the problems. My daughters know. They come to me with a problem. I said, okay, so what are you going to do about it? How have you thought about fixing or creating workarounds for the problem or for the issue? And that's what Jesus is looking for. That's what Paul's looking for in the church of Colossae. He said, hey, we're going to be people who are fully mature in the things of God. It doesn't stop there. Paul goes to his next church in Corinth. He goes to Corinthians. And he sees some of the same tactics, some of the same things. And so now if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I start in verse 1 here, you're going to see a common thread roll out here. It starts here in verse 1 saying, brothers and sisters. Why is he saying that? Because he needs you to know his audience. This is not the unsaved. This is the saved. This is not the pagan. This is the believer. This is not the attacker of the church. This is the church. This is home base. Someone say home base. He says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Yeah, this is not fun for them to hear. Mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Someone say ready for it. Did it occur to you, has it ever occurred to you, there may be things that God has for you that you are not yet ready for? Let me give you some insight. There are things that Courtney and I want to do for our daughters they're not ready for. There are things that we have planned they don't even know they're on the front row, that when my daughter graduates with a bachelor's degree, there's some things we're going to do for her. She doesn't even know yet. She's just not ready for it. There are some things when my second daughter, when she graduates high school, I got some plans for it. She doesn't even know it yet. She doesn't even know it yet. And there are some things, Naomi's 9, I've got some plans for her. There are things that as she shows herself, and I want you to see your life through that lens, God has things ready for you. God has things coming. God is not delayed, we are delayed. God is not stunted, we are stunted. God is not far, we are far. God never left, as a matter of fact, because God showed me in my spirit, someone thinks God has left. He has never left where he's been. You and I have left. He's trying to develop them. He's trying to show them. He said, I can't even address you in spiritual terms because you're not going to hear it. I've got to address you as though you're still worldly, merely infants in Christ. Verse 2 says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still, someone say still. He said, you're still not ready. This is not his first message. This is not his first rodeo with them. This is years in the making. He says, you're still not ready. You're influenced by the world. You are still worldly. For since there is, listen to this, jealousy, quarreling among you. And he finishes with this thought. Are you not worldly? Are you not worldly? He says, you're claiming to live for God. You're claiming to live by the Spirit, but predicated and based on words, actions, and lifestyle. You are worldly. You are secular. You are wearing the clothes of Christianity, but the actions, the lifestyles, the behaviors, the words, the thought process, the worldview is counter to what's in here. Paul's message lets them know that although they have spiritual aspirations, they have an ungodly and a secular walk. The message that he's preparing is not for mature Christians. It's for those who are just learning still and still trying to handle things. He compares his audience to those who are still worldly. Paul refers to these attributes as being infants in the faith. And what you hear Paul doing, he's not preaching for friends. He's preaching for faith. He's not preaching for more buildings. He's preaching for more disciples. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you have to ask yourself, am I not entertained? Anybody know a good gladiator reference when they hear one? Or do I want more of what God has for me? And I'll tell you what, in the west part of the world, we're going to have to come to terms with that, whether we like it or not. You know, a quick way to make someone mad coming up was calling them a crybaby or a baby. Quick way to make somebody mad. Like, there will be fights. Talk about somebody's mom. Anybody got in a fight? Everybody ever talk about your mom got in a fight? Yep, you had some hands. Or if you call somebody a baby, at least when I came up. Like, man, you're a crybaby. And then things got heated. Paul's coming in the room. He said, you're not developing. You're a crybaby. You're an infant. You got big talk, but not a big walk. Like, he's really leveling some things here, and he's willing to do it. Why is he willing to be so straightforward with them? Let me tell you why. He goes to Corinth in about approximately 50 AD. Do you know when this letter is written? About 55 AD. He said, for 5 years, we're talking about the same things. 5 years, the same dysfunction in your home, in your marriage, in your family, in your job, in your finances. 5 years, you're blaming everybody else. 5 years, everybody else's problem. 5 years, you want to be entertained. 5 years, it's your best Instagram, YouTube, motivational speaking, preaching, teaching, but you're not committed or rooted anywhere. 5 years. And we're still here, still having this conversation, still this same rodeo, still the same lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life issues that you're not shaking. Still here, he's taking issue. He says, within a 5-year span of time, this is applicable to today, within a 5-year span of time, you should be moving forward in your walk. If you've been saved in this room 5 years or more, Paul says, hey, talk is cheap. Hey, it's time to move forward. No more crying over spilled milk. No more going back to the ways of the world. No more vacillating. No more going back and forth in the gray. No more asking, our 5-year and under Christians will know what I'm talking about. No more asking, is this sin? If you have to ask if it's sin, you've already gone too far. In life, in relationships, in intimacy, everything else. If you have to ask, is this, would God? Yeah, you've gone too far. You got too far. He said, hey, 5 years, let's move forward. And you see his conversation to call them infants? Like you and I hear that, like, oh, that's funny, that's cute. Not cute and funny if you were them. Milk? Like talking breastfeeding? What? Like not very cute. True story, I asked Courtney before the message, could I call this message stop breastfeeding? Men, have you ever asked your wife something and it was so appalling to her that she didn't give you a response, she just gave you a look? You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever asked her something so off base and off color? I was like, but I mean, it would get the thought through. She just looked at me and just, so that's why it's the fight for maturity, in case you're wondering. What is, stop breastfeeding. That would have made some ripples in our community. I'm sure of it. Hey, tech team, have we ever gone viral? Because that could have, that might be the next message to get the word of God out there. Welcome to Legacy Church, where we teach you to stop breastfeeding and mature in your faith, right? It's a thought. The imagery will throw you off, though, I will admit. But what is stopping them from moving forward in their homes? And what is stopping them from moving forward in their church? Because remember, they're inextricably connected, the home and the church. You can't tear them apart if you wanted to. It's like gum in your daughter's hair. You're going to cut it all off. Like, you're not getting one or the other out. What is stopping the church in Colossae from moving forward? What is stopping the church in Corinth from moving forward? What is stopping our church moving forward? What is stopping our homes from moving forward? It's a word that some of our older saints have heard that nobody in the new generation has heard. You ready? What's stopping them from moving forward is carnality. Someone say carnality. Carnality. I'm going to let it sit for a moment. Someone say carnality again. Half of you only know what that means, carnality. You know why people like me don't teach and preach this? Because this don't bring more people in. You're not going to want to invite people in. After I tell you what carnality means, you ain't going to want to invite anybody next week. All right? That's okay. I'm good with that. I got me and my family. We'll be here. Same time, same channel. Carnality means this. Carnality is to have the nature and characteristics of the flesh. Secular, worldly. Everything the world does, I'm about it. Characterized by things that belong to the unsaved. So a carnal nature, which is weird, you can pray a prayer, you can profess your loyalty and allegiance to God through the Savior Jesus Christ and profess to be led by the Holy Spirit, but you can be spiritually focused but have a life that is very carnal at the same time. It's a strange dynamic. The scripture says like this in Ephesians 2:3. It says, all of us also lived among them at one time, talking about the world and the ways of the world and the systems of the world. It's just gratifying the what? The carnality, the cravings of our flesh. And I don't have to tell you what the cravings of your flesh are. You know what they are. And following its desires and its thoughts, there's going to be a battle. So what we're learning here is that if we don't have a Christ-glorifying purpose to our life, we're going to walk in carnality. If everything in our life is not, how can I glorify God? How can I make him my priority? How can I live for him, honor him, and serve him? I'm going to miss him. I'm going to walk in carnality and not even know it. The church in Colossae didn't know it. The church in Corinth didn't know it. You're going to see some other people who didn't know it as well. So there are spaces and places in life where we'll walk and not even know it. And this is what Paul is having to do. He's having to compare unsaved, or he used the word natural people, to save and spiritual people to show them, hey, there's not much of a difference here. Do you know what I'm saying? The current church in our day and age, we're trying to be in some ways so attractional, we have to make sure that there's a difference between the godly and the ungodly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's got to be, when they come into our gatherings, they've got to walk out differently than when they go to other gatherings. We have to be careful because, of course, we want to make our services and our spaces so attainable to people, to any walk of life, but they can't miss the Holy Spirit. They can't miss, oh, that's the way they live. That's the God they serve. Oh, there's a standard. There's unity. There's honor. There's maturity in those gatherings. They've got to walk away, and if they miss anything, it won't be the Holy Spirit. It won't be the Word of God. They might miss some cool light sounds and smoke, right? They might miss something trendy and cool, but they won't miss the things that matter. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 as he's making the comparison between the natural and the unsaved. He says this in verse 14. But the natural man, someone say the natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He said, they're not receiving what you have. He's trying to show them they would die for what you have. They just don't know it yet. So my students and anyone else who's struggling with, like, I want to be a Christian around my family, my friends, or fellow peers or things like that, they want what you have. They just don't know. See, when you have salvation, when you have Jesus, you have the cure to cancer. You have the cure to hurt and pain. You have the cure to depression. You have the cure to heartache. You have the cure to lack of peace. You have the cure to every ailment known to man. And so for us to hide that and be like, well, what would they think of me? Oh, they need what you have. They just don't know. They just don't know. Goes on to say this, for they are foolishness to him. They don't comprehend. They don't yet understand. And see, we have a whole world trying to one-up each other, a whole world trying to get as many things on their life and on their plate as they can so they don't have to think about the God they're far from. It's foolishness to them, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's going to be important here shortly, discernment. To know God is spiritually discerning godly from ungodly, right from wrong. A natural person can't understand spiritual things, and he's saying a carnal person is complicated because you can spiritually discern, but you're choosing to not live for God. You're choosing, well, I know God's way. I'm going to walk my way. You're choosing to enter into relationships with people who are far from God and to be unevenly yoked. You're choosing to not honor God on your job because it might be expedient for a promotion. You're choosing not to honor God in your finances because what if things fall apart? Do you see what carnality looks like? You're choosing to participate in lust of the flesh because you know what? There's worse men out there than me. There's worse things. I'm not killing my family. You are killing your family spiritually. That's why generational curses are still not broken in your home. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is going to speak to someone here today. If we walk in carnality, we don't have a spiritual perspective on life. We're seeing here that if they're not walking according to the Spirit, but walking according to the flesh, he uses words like natural, fleshly, spiritual infants. And we even unpack what carnal looks like. And what Paul is trying to get them to see is, you're missing out because here's what we think in life. Here's the biggest trick of the enemy. He says, if you live for God, you are missing out. Anyone been there? You're missing out. All the things that this world has to offer, you are missing out. God is, as Naomi would say, a fun sponge. She calls me that when it's time to do homework and studying. You're such a fun sponge, Dad. I'm offended a little bit, but we got to do what we got to do. We think that God wants to limit our fun, limit our success, limit our, you name it, just limit it, just lop it off, God. No, God is actually putting us in a position and space to experience the best life possible. See, what we're missing is boundaries. Boundaries are blessings. Boundaries are blessings. There's more freedom found in boundaries than you could ever imagine. Can I show you how? If you look at this current generation, they have no boundaries because of YouTube, because of social media, because of the internet. They see things that you and I never saw till we were married, right? They see things that we never saw until we were like 30 or 40 or 50. Like, oh my gosh, the carnage. I can't believe it's happening in the Middle East and everywhere else. They see all these kind of things, and they're the most medicated generation. They have the most social anxiety. They have the most issues launching, and they're still with mom and dad to a later age. They have all these issues and all these social problems. But hold on, they're the freest generation. They've been exposed to everything. Whatever they want, lust of the flesh, lust of the pride of life, you know what they do? Safari or Chrome, as quick as possible. And they get it, and they get it, and they get it, and they get it. So you're telling me boundaries are good? You're telling me you have more freedom when you do have boundaries? Exactly what I'm telling you. And so that's what they're missing here. Saying carnality has you go in spaces where you have no boundaries, spiritually speaking. But he wants to bring boundaries back to the church. Back to the home, back to the marriage, back to the children, back to the schools, back to our society. Like, just because we can do everything doesn't make it right. And just because we can experience everything doesn't make it good. And you see this in our society, in our generation. Good news or bad news? I'm not sure how you're going to take this, but let me share it with you. If the Bible teaches church and homes are intertwined, which we know they are, we may have a problem on our hands. Let me tell you why. Because if our homes are full of carnal Christians, what are our churches full of? If our homes are full of carnal Christians, what are our churches full of? Carnal Christians. And if our homes are full of carnal Christians and our churches are full of carnal Christians, that means our goal is no longer maturity, our goal is entertainment. Right? Our goal is make me feel good. Our goal is give me prosperity. Our goal is God's going to open a door and he's going to pay my mortgage off by this time next week. Right? Our goal is I can leave the wife of my youth and trade her in for something different. I heard this one time, the only time a man opens a door for his wife is when it's a new car or a new wife. New car or new wife? Somebody said, what? Like we've got to make sure we know what the goal of church is, the goal of gatherings are, and it's the goal to mature. It's the goal to build up. It's the goal to grow. But if we've got carnal Christians in homes, then we've got them in churches. And then our goal, because what did Jesus say the goal of the church was? The goal of the church is repentance, obedience, and spiritual discipline. That's the goal of the church. Repentance, obedience, spiritual discipline. And as we follow those, a myriad of things come from that. But we've got to make sure that remains the goal. That remains our desire. That remains our heart. That remains what we want to be a part of. What we want to bring to our home and to our church. And if that's not the goal of our homes and the goal of our church, then our homes are going to suffer and so will our churches. And you would think that, all right, that's enough conversation. Colossians, Corinthians, point well taken. Point well taken, right? It doesn't stop there. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and verse 11. And you're going to see this continual thought play out, this continual thought be expressed here. Verse 11 says this, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Who's he talking to? The church. Not secular, the sacred, the spiritual people, right? He's talking to them and he's saying, you don't even want to understand. One translation says you are dull of hearing or stubborn. Verse 12, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to do what? You should be helping people right now, and you can't even help yourself. It's getting strong. The elementary truths of God's word all over again. And here he goes again. You're a baby. You need milk and not solid food. Why is the writer going so hard in the book of Hebrews? Let me tell you why. The book of Hebrews was written approximately about 30 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 30 years. So in Colossae, it was how many years? 5. Hebrews, how many years? 30. So the writer is saying, no, we're not playing this. We're not playing this. 30 years? And we are still talking about the elementary things of faith. We're still talking about making space for God and prayer. We're still talking about having accountability partners. We're still talking about being faithful in the church and serving and tithe and offering and getting disunity and divisions out of your life. We're still talking about honoring your spouse and being a God-like example to your children and your family first and then everybody else. We're still talking about being consistent, not operating in the gray and compromise. He's saying, no, this is it. 30 years, some of these people in this church would have been saved. And he's saying this, the time to mature has now come. He's saying you should be a teacher at this point in your life. And what he sees and how he knows, because you're like, well, how does he know? He can see because their diet in the spiritual was low, but high in carnality. See, he's listening to conversations like, how would he know? How would the writer be privy to this? He's around them. He's amongst their homes and their families and the way they live life. And they're more involved in secular attitudes and behaviors and language and priorities and worldviews. And what he's referencing here is that I'm around you enough to know that you are having more intake of this world than spiritual things. That your plate is your life and you sprinkle Jesus on it when you have a chance. Instead of the plate being Jesus and you rearrange things where they go and how they should go and where they should be. He says, we've got a severe problem on our hands because you guys are in Colossae. The church has been around for at least 30 years now. And they had, like us, all different ranges of space of salvation and maturity in the house. He says, there is a problem in the house. And he says, it's time to change. He was able to see in their life where they were based on their diet. So I ask you, what does your week look like when it comes to your spiritual diet? What does your diet consist of more? Carnality, ways of the world, things of the world, priorities of the world versus your spiritual diet. Because that's what called them out. Like, you can say you're eating healthy. You can say you've been losing weight. You can say you've been working out. You can say it all to your friends and family to get on that scale. Numbers and scales don't lie, right? Or till you go to your doctor and they check cholesterol and they check all this blood pressure and everything else. And they have the metrics to say, hey, have you been eating right? Have you been taking care of yourself? Have you been, you know, exercising? All these things. You can say what you want. But the writer says, I've seen your diet. And you're taking in more carnality than you are things of the spirit. What is he referencing? He's referencing these infant believers who are still taking in milk and not meat. Here's what makes you dependent on milk and not meat. It's when you're taking more of the world than God. I want to make it very, very clear. When the difference between milk and meat is, milk is just the same elementary things. Someone's got to pump and prime you to serve God, pump and prime you to come to church, pump and prime you to live for God, pump and prime you to repent of your sins and to live for God. Meat is, I have a desire. I have a hunger and a thirsting for righteousness. I want to serve God. You don't have to make me serve God. Good day, bad day, God's faithful, God's loyal, God's on the throne. You see the difference between those two? We don't lose our faith. We're found in our faith. The only way to get off milk, we're told, as you keep reading through Hebrews, it's very interesting. I want to show you. If we want to get off meat, milk and get to meat, here's how you get there. Verse 13 says this, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, still a baby, still going through elementary things, I got to serve God, I got to honor him, I got to forgive, I got to love, I got to give a tithe. Anyone who's still in those infant stages is not acquainted with the teachings about what? Righteousness. Another word you don't hear much in the church today, righteousness. The way to get off milk, to get on meat is what? Righteousness, which would be knowing God's word and living it out. Knowing God's word and making that the focus of your life, whether I'm at work or at home or wherever I am, I'm going to walk out God's precepts and principles. I'm choosing this day who I will serve. And I will love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I will love my neighbor as myself, no matter what it cost. The proof of maturity we see is right here in this verse. Verse 14 says, but solid food is for the who? Let's see what solid food looks like. Who by constant use, this is not your Christian in church and then not at home, or Christian in church, not at work, by constant use of their faith, have trained themselves, and here's the key, distinguish good from evil, godly from ungodly. The proof of maturity is your ability to discern or distinguish. The godly from the ungodly, the authentic from the counterfeit, looking at things through a spiritual lens. You are not a meat Christian because you have a Bible app on your phone. You are not a meat Christian because you attend this church. You are not a meat Christian because you're watching online. You're not a meat Christian because you're nice on the job. What we find is that you are a meat Christian if you have an appetite for meat. If you eat meat daily. My brother recently called me and told me he's on the carnivore diet. Anybody heard of this? I thought I've always been on that diet. I didn't know there was another diet out there. He's a West Coast guy, and he's like, hey, there's this big thing out here. So what's big? What's going on out there? Like, what's the trends happening? Like, it's all about the carnivore diet, man. I said, what is that about? He goes, meat and nothing else. I said, nothing else and nothing else. So he sends me pictures of his carnivore diet, and he's serious. It's red meat, more red meat and other things. I'm like, okay, let's see how this thing goes. But it's about what we're eating. It's about if we want to be mature, what does your diet look like? What does it look like? What are we consuming? And I'm going to tell you what, very clearly, if we're not consuming the Word of God, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it in every area of our life. We're going to
to miss it. We're going to miss what God has in store for us. We're going to miss the precepts and the principles that we're not just being hearers. We're being what? Doers. You guys must know some scripture. James 1:22 says this. But don't just listen to God's word. What do you have to do? One more time, what do you have to do? Don't just be listening to God's word. You have to do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling who? Not your church. Not your spouse. Not your friends. Not your future. Not your opportunities. Not your open doors. Not your blessings. Who are you fooling? You're the only one that loses for not serving God faithfully and consistently. No one else loses in this equation. You are losing, you are missing out on all that God has for you, is what James is saying. Milk believers are only hearers. Meat believers are doers. Which one are you going to be? And I'll just close it there. You can come on up, Stan. I'll just finish it there. Milk believers are hearers. Meat believers are doers. What are you going to walk out as? What are you going to consume? What kind of carnivore diet are you going to be on? I believe that God's going to speak so powerfully in our homes, and in turn speak so powerfully in our church. We put the main thing, and focus on the Word of God, and make sure we're living out what we're taking in, and looking at our diet. How much of our diet is carnality? How much of our diet is spiritual? How much of our diet is fixed on God? How much are we interpreting God's Word, what God says, and not manipulating to mean what we want it to mean? It's the year of the carnivore diet. It's the year of the Word of God. It's the year of, I might miss some things on a Monday, but this won't be missed. It's the year of not just being a hearer, but a doer. It's the year of biting our lip. It's the year of calling someone an accountability partner. It's a year of doing whatever it takes. We only got 10 months left of this year. Whatever it takes, at the end of 2024, we matured and we grew in our faith. We didn't stay where we were. We didn't stay stunted in our growth. We didn't have developmental issues. We actually expanded and we grew is what we did. Who's ready for that journey? Who's ready to go along? Milk is for the hearers. Jesus, he's looking for some doers. Don't talk about the lost. Go find the lost. Don't talk about outreach. Join us in outreach. Don't talk about the church. Help us serve the church. Don't talk about what's not being done. Come help us get it done. And don't tear us down. Help us build up the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. You can put your hands together for the goodness of our King. Father, you are faithful. And we are humbled to be gathered in this place under your name. One goal and one goal alone. Elevate your name. Bring your name praise. Make your name famous. And so today, as you spoke through the volumes of your scripture, Lord, would you teach us what spiritual maturity looks like in our individual homes, in our individual lives, and then in our church, God. Cleanse us of carnality and all unrighteousness, God, in Jesus' name. Say it with me. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness and carnality, Father. Show us the blind spots. Heal us, Father. We cannot walk in carnality and expect to walk in your principles and precepts. We can't walk in the blessings, the opportunities, dare I say, the intimacy with Jesus this year if we walk in carnality, God. I repent. Our homes repent. Our marriages repent. Our children repent, God. We won't always get it right, but would you show us where we don't? So we don't walk back in that, Father. We refuse to return back to our vomit in this year. We refuse to cast pearls of swine in this year, Father. We will live for you. We will guard our hearts, for everything flows out from under it. Father, we need you. This can't just be 3 points in a poem, God. We need you to help us walk this out. We need, Father, a steady diet of your word. It's not just be hearers, but doers, God. I pray that we lose our taste for milk today. We don't want it anymore. We don't want compromise. We don't want the cheap stuff. We don't want bad relationships. We don't want things that are far from you. We don't want the same friend circles. As a matter of fact, we don't want to be in those circles any longer anymore because of the divisiveness and the hurt and the pain. We want more of you, God. Lord, speak to our hearts. Unpack our minds. Unpack our souls, Lord. There are things that have not yet been exposed because of carnality, Father. But God, we're believing for all that you're going to do, Lord. So help us, Lord. Help us today to walk this out. And lastly, with your heads bowed, if you're far from Jesus Christ in this place, whatever that looks like, we want to welcome you to either rededicate your life, surrender to the Lord, or welcome Jesus into your life. We exist for you as a church. We exist for the person who is far, that you may be found. And so if that is you, if you're online or you're in the building, we ask that you pray with us. We ask that there's no magical words, but it's a posture of the heart. We ask that you posture your heart and say, God, come into our lives. So if you'll repeat these words as we pray this prayer. Lord God, we believe in you. We repent of our sins and welcome Jesus into our lives. Give us a hunger for your word and for discipleship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Why don't you put your hands together for all those who prayed that today.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us at legacychurchai.org or on Legacy Church AI on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, Legacy family. See you next time.